chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Looking at this evening, fearing and obeying the Word of God. Fearing and obeying the Word of God. Exodus 9, we'll begin in verse 17. Exodus 9 and verse 17. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Exodus 9 and verse 17. Exodus 9, 17. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous what? Hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they, what? Shall die. He that feared, what? The word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that, what? Guarded not the word of the Lord, left his servants and his cattle in the field. Well, that's the story yet today, isn't it? Some fear the Lord and his word and obey it, and others, they do not regard it, and they perish. And that's what happened there. Those that did not take heed, they perished. Now, the plague of hail was plague number 7 out of the 10 that God brought upon Egypt because they would not let Israel go. Let's back up and refresh our minds to chapter 7. Exodus 7 and verse 16 is the first plague, and it was the water into blood. Exodus 7 and verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus what? Saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. It's interesting in these how it mentions, thus saith the Lord in verse 17. And, oh, our nation is in such a mess. Why is it in such a mess? Because we haven't listened to the Word of God. Instead of listening to it and fearing it, it's thrown out of the schools, it's thrown out of the government, and then it's every man to himself, every woman to herself, and you see the mess that we have. So, the plague, the water into blood. Number 2 plague was the frogs. Notice in chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, the plague of the frogs, number 2. So chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him what? Thus saith the Lord. You know, sometimes when we're witnessing to people and talking to people, we just fail to realize that power, don't we? I mean, people need to know, thus saith the Lord. The Lord. It's not our words, it's God's words. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frog shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. He may say, oh, what can a harmless little frog hurt? Now, if you could just imagine all these frogs jumping all over. In verse 3 there, they'll be in your house. How would you like to be sitting in your favorite chair and just frogs jumping up on you and jumping all over in the house? And then and into thy bedchamber. So you can't go in the bedroom and escape them. They're there. I mean, can you imagine trying to sleep and you've got frogs jumping on you and jumping on your face, you know, startling you? And then it says, into thine ovens. Now, what happens when you put something in an oven? It cooks, doesn't it? Well, I don't know what a frog smells like when it's cooked. I guess I've never even had frog legs, but I'm talking about the whole frog, not just frog legs being fried or something. I do know when I was young, we were working on some cars and we were welding. And I was chewing some gum and I dropped it on a hot weld. You know what? Gum may taste okay when you chew it, but it really smells horrible when it fries on a red hot weld. It didn't smell too good. So the frogs would be in their ovens and into verse 3, thy kneading troughs. One of my pastors joined the Army, the U.S. Army, and was a chaplain in the Vietnam War. And he said once in a while, I guess, I don't know if the food wasn't that plentiful or what for our soldiers, but he said they would buy at times bread from the people of Vietnam. And he said it was the safest to eat it at night when you couldn't see what was in it. I don't know if I would have been anxious to buy bread like that, would you? But that's what he said. Better to eat it when it was dark. So, I mean, what would happen if in the morning if you went to get a slice of toast for the toaster and you pulled it out and there was part of a frog that been cut right in two and cooked in the middle of your bread, or maybe not fully cooked in the middle of your bread? I'm not sure. I'd probably take away your appetite, wouldn't it? So, yes, this type of plague of frogs, you may say, oh, frogs harmless. Well, if they were just jumping all over everywhere, getting in your food, in your bed, everywhere in your house, every place you walk, you know, you squish on a frog. What a plague. So it was very annoying. That was plague number two. Plague number three in chapter 8 and verse 16. Number three was the plague of the lice. I don't know if you've ever had to face that. If you're around someone with lice, and then so you have to wash your hair and use a really fine comb trying to get those eggs out of your hair. Oh, just imagine a plague everywhere with lice. Exodus 8:16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine such a thing? You can't get away from it anywhere. That would be horrible. Well, plague number four was the plague of flies in Exodus 8 and verse 20. Exodus 8:20. One time I was working with my dad and we remodeled a farmhouse for a man over by Cedar Springs. And he had cows. And wherever you have cows, you have what? Flies. We put white siding on that farmhouse. And sometime later he asked us to come back and do some work inside of building some bookshelves. And I was so shocked when I come to the front door. And his white siding was what color? Black with fly specks. It was horrible, just all over the front of his house from the flies. And they had just made such a mess of that once white siding. But in verse 20, Exodus 8:20, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him," what? "Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies. And also," what? "The ground whereon they are." Just flies so thick you can't even walk without stepping on who knows how many flies. Can you imagine how messy your shoes would be? Just, you wouldn't want to walk in the house just after walking outside. But irregardless of that, there were swarms of flies in the houses. Just imagine that. The sound of it, the aggravation of it, flies trying to land on you all over. Plague number 5, the plague of the death of farm animals. You know, we often call this the plague of the death of cattle, but I want you to notice what all dies in this plague. Exodus 9, verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him," what? "Thus saith the Lord God." You see how he's telling him, listen, this is the word of God. Pharaoh, you need to fear the word of God. "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field." Upon what? "The horses." Upon what? "The asses." Upon what? "The camels." Upon what? "The oxen." And upon what? "The sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain." So it was all the farm animals. We're going to die. Now imagine what a mess that would be. As well as you're taking away a lot of wealth of people. You kill all their animals. Plague number 6 was the plague of the boils. Exodus 9 and verse 8. Exodus 9:8. "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a" what? "A boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." That was number 6. Then we get to number 7, which was the plague of the hail, which we talked about, and we'll be back to that. So let's go to plague number 8, was the plague of the locusts. Exodus 10, verse 3. Exodus 10 and verse 3. "Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him," what? "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants." And on it goes. So, like so many of these plagues, I mean, there's no place to escape from them. Now it was the frogs, the lice. Now it's the locusts everywhere, and they're eating everything. Notice in verse 7 what the disciples said, or what Pharaoh's servants said. Verse 7, "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may" what? "Serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is" what? "Destroyed." His own people knew from all these plagues. They're telling them, listen, don't you know that our country is destroyed because you haven't listened to "Thus saith the Lord"? Those words could be said against every nation that goes against the Lord. If you hold your place here, turn with me please to Psalm 9. Psalm chapter 9. Every nation that refuses to submit to thus saith the Lord, eventually you're going to be able to say the same thing. Our nation is destroyed. Why don't we listen to the word of God? Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into where? Into hell, and all what? The nations that forget God. My, we have forgotten God as well. Those words could be said against every nation that turns against God, every city that turns to God, every state that turns away from God. I mean, the state of Virginia is about in a state of civil war right now. It's like there's just anger everywhere. People are not listening to the word of God, and so they're at each other's throats. We need to get back to the word of God. I feel bad for the people of the state of California. The fires that are coming. Now, they made laws where they would not prosecute. In fact, it was against the law in California to call the police unless a theft was of a certain amount. And so what they had was gangs of thugs roving, and they would figure out the amount of stuff they were going to steal out of stores. Then they would just take what they want and take off. And it was against the law for the store owners to call the police, to bother the police. Have you ever heard of anything so foolish? And then they wonder why crime is going up in the state of California. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out. They've disregarded God's holy word on the matter of sodomy. You know, the state of California has been one of the states way out in front of everyone of trying to push this sodomy thing, but we need to listen to thus saith the Lord. Look at Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18, you know what? It doesn't matter whether it's politically correct or not. What about what is biblically correct? What is spiritually correct? Because we've got to answer to God one day, and we're going to answer to thus saith the Lord. Leviticus 18, verse 1. Leviticus 18, 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I what? Am the Lord your God. Listen to this, verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall what? Ye not do. So where you've come from, don't do like that in Egypt. And after the doings of what? The land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye what? Not do. So God's saying, listen, you've been in Egypt 430 years. Listen, the stuff you saw done there, don't do. And I'm taking you to the land of Canaan. The things you see there, don't do. He goes on to say, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Verse 4, ye shall do what? My judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. Why? What does he say? I am the Lord your God. You know what? People just use his name as a swear word right now. But let me tell you something. One day, every knee will what? Bow to that name and bow to him personally. Verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So he starts in many things. But let's drop to verse 22. Leviticus 18, 22. So this is thus saith the Lord, this whole chapter. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with who? Mankind as with who? Womankind. It is what? Abomination. It's not acceptable. I just read this week that there was, in a Macy's store, there were some ladies in the restroom. And one was in a stall, one was outside of a stall. And one outside of the stall was kind of panicking. And so the one that was in the stall opened the stall door, and here's a man in the bathroom doing some lewd thing. And so what did she do? She pulled her gun at the guy. And he ended up just nonchalantly walking out. They tried to get security to help them. You know what security did? They just let them go. Why? Because our nation is not paying attention to thus saith the Lord. Sodomy is an abomination. The transgender stuff is an abomination. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. It really doesn't matter what is politically correct. What matters is what is biblically correct. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto who? A man. Neither shall a man put on what? A woman's garment. For all that do so are what? Abomination unto who? The Lord thy God. People say, well, you're just against this, you're just against that. Listen, I'm in favor of what God says. And when God says something is an abomination and we shouldn't do it, we better take heed. Egypt did not take heed to what God was saying, and their nation was destroyed. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. You know, I feel bad for the people in the state of California, the leaders that they have. It just seems like they are doing so many things that are the exact opposite of Scripture. They're being hit by drought. And so now the homeless are just making a mess of the cities. You know, they despise the immigration, and so they make cities sanctuary cities, and so they're just flooded with homeless people. And as I just said, they do away with making it even legal to call the police in certain circumstances, and California is becoming an utter mess, chaos. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Ecclesiastes 8:11. You know what? If they would listen to thus saith the Lord, you know, they wouldn't have all those problems. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because what? Sentence against what? An evil work is not executed what? Speedily. Okay, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is what? Fully set in them to do what? Evil. One verse. One verse. If we would listen to thus saith the Lord, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Wow, that's... Think what God must think in heaven. He's looking down on man who is utterly scoffing at this book, outlawing this book in government and in schools, ridiculing this book when someone dares to bring it up, and actually for the most part it's being outlawed in many places of business as well. It's being trying to be outlawed in our military. I just read about today there's a company that makes some military dog tags and puts verses of Scripture on the back. And so people complain about it, and so the Army now is saying, well, you can't do that to the company. If we're going to supply these with these things, you can't have Scripture on them. We're just throwing the Word of God out, and the end result, not going to be good. Let's go back to Exodus 10. Plague number 9. Exodus 10. Plague number 9 is the plague of darkness. And you know what? When we fail to take heed to the Word of God, when we fail to fear the Word of the Lord, that's the way we end up, is in darkness. You know, so often in halls of upper learning, they have it exactly wrong. Like, they're teaching that first was, you know, one-celled animals, and then caveman eventually, and then man up to his intelligence now. The fact of the matter is, it's the exact opposite. God created Adam and Eve with great intelligence. Intelligence enough where Adam could name all the animals that there were. Could you do that? Could I do that? Remember, there's no dictionary of names. You know, when we had our children, you know, we'd look through books of names and talk about them, and we'd look up the meaning of the names, and wow, it seems hard just to come up with, five names. Can you imagine the hundreds and thousands of names that Adam had to come up with no help from anyone? It had to be what God put in his mind. And you know what's harder than naming all the animals? Is what? Remembering their names. What did I name this one? It's like, you know, after you have several children, you'll find out what I mean. You'll go to say their name and you'll say one of the other children's names. And you may start at the top and go right down until you finally hit their name. Oh, God created man with great intelligence. No, the first caveman was Lot. And Lot decided to pursue easy money in his life, and he ended up in Sodomy, a city that was doomed to be destroyed. And so he fled from Sodom. He pled with the Lord to spare a city. God spared that city. But when Lot saw what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah in judgment, he took off for the mountain, and he dwelt in a cave. So no, caveman was not first. Caveman ended up when fleeing from God and his holy will. That's where the caveman came in. Darkness. Exodus 10:21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which what? May be felt. How many of you have ever been on a tour in a cave where they turned off the lights? Okay, that's the darkness you can feel. There's no light. No light. And that's what they experienced for 3 days. A thick darkness, verse 22, that could be felt. And the last plague is in chapter 11, Exodus 11, verse 4. Exodus 11:4. And Moses said what? Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall what? Die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. Darkness comes before death. Darkness comes before death. Our nation needs a great revival. We need a spiritual awakening. Some people are looking for political answers. We need a spiritual answer. We need people to seek the Lord. We need people to fear God. We need to fear His Word. You know, our family has been to Washington, D.C. And you know what? In the Lincoln Memorial and on a lot of other memorials, do you know what's engraved in that marble or granite, whatever it is? A lot of scripture is engraved in Washington, D.C. Right now, it's utterly contemned. It's utterly ignored. So what does the Lord want us to do? Well, let's go back to Exodus 9:20. When it came to the plague of the hail, number 7. Exodus 9:20. The Bible says, he that feared what? The word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle what? Flee into the houses. That's what we need to do. The Bible talks about fleeing from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. Verse 21, and he that regarded what? Not the word of the Lord, left his servants and his cattle in the field. They didn't take heed. Just like we saw Sunday, the flood came, the people knew not, and it took them all away. What do you mean they knew not? They've been preaching about the flood and to get right with God. But they weren't listening. Just like today in our land, most are not listening. So what should we do? Should we think up something else? I remember the first time I was ever out witnessing that someone said to me a statement to the effect of, oh, I don't believe the Bible. My first reaction was, oh, well, let's see, what else can I say then that would convince you? There is nothing else. It's the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. But let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. What does the Lord want us to do? We're living in a nation where many despise the Word of the living God. So, should we think up something else? Ezekiel 2 and verse 1. Ezekiel 2:1, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a what? Rebellious nation. That's us. That hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and what? Stiff-hearted. I do send thee, what? Unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, what? Thus saith the Lord God. But Lord, what if they say, I don't believe the Bible? Look at verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So what are we to do? We're to faithfully speak the word of the Lord. You know, so often people say, well, that's what you think, you know. You know, that's the time where we need to get out the Bible and say, no, this is not what I think. This is what God says. These are not my words. These are God's words. Mark chapter 8. We'll close with this verse here. Mark 8. What does the Lord want us to do? Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark 8, 38. Let's back up here. Verse 35. Mark 8, 35. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall what? Save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of who? Of me, so that's of Jesus, and of what? My words. So that's the Bible. So whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, that's Jesus, and of my words, the Bible, in what kind of generation? Adulterous and sinful generation. So the Bible's making it clear. It doesn't matter whether it's an easy time to serve God or whether it's a hard time to serve God. Well, today it's hard. It's a sinful and adulterous and sinful generation. But if we're ashamed of his word, it says, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So the point is for us tonight is our country needs to hear the word of God. They need to hear, thus saith the Lord. And it doesn't matter if they scoff at us, if they laugh at us. We just need to say, thus saith the Lord. This is what he says. Sodomy, God says it's an abomination. Oh, but what do you think? It does not matter what I think. God says it's abomination. We were down handing out tracts in Grand Rapids on the 4th of July one year, and there was a young woman sitting down on the pavement there. And she started in at me about this sodomy stuff. And I just kept saying to her, it does not matter what I say. It matters what God says. It's God's word. It's God's word. It's God's word. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Don't allow them to put it just on you. Just make sure they know, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. You will answer to him, not me, someday. So let's be faithful. It's thus saith the Lord. It's Jesus that said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for what? Your souls. Your souls. That's what Americans and people around the world need rest for their soul. They can be as politically correct as they can try to be. And you know what? They don't have rest in their soul. You know, when you live your life just to please people, you never have rest. Never. But you can through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they'll throw it right back. Are you saying I can't go to heaven unless I accept Jesus? What should you say? Don't say those are my words. Those are God's words. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus is God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't say those are my words. You know what it's called when you're quoting somebody and you don't give credit? Plagiarism. Well, you know what? We need to know. People need to know that what we are saying is not our own words. We need to give credit where credit is due. Who says Jesus is the only way to heaven? God says. Cite it. Give the citation. John 14:6. You look it up. Those are God's words. In quotes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What about repentance? Jesus said, except man repent, he shall all likewise perish. In Luke 13:3. Are you saying that anyone who doesn't repent is going to hell? Listen, don't try to say those are my words. Those are God's words. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus has said that. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5. He's the one that said, except a person repents, he's going to perish. So may the Lord give us courage. There's so many people in this world that are intimidated. I was going to call it the burger joint, but it's the chicken joint. Chick-fil-A. I said to my wife, we went there once, and I said, what do you think they'd say if I went up there and ordered a double cheeseburger? Chick-fil-A? They don't have any beef. They only have chicken. But the politically correct crowd, the sodomite crowd, get pounded and pounded and pounded at Chick-fil-A, and they backtailed it. It's sad. Someone said that they saw a Chick-fil-A where there wasn't a line of cars in the drive-through. And they said, what's going on? Well, there's not a line in the drive-through. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You keep getting away from what they stood for, and you're writing Ichabod up there on the sign. The reason they were so blessed is because they stood upon the scriptural principles. And may we stand. I'm not trying to pick on Chick-fil-A, but I'm just saying we need to stand. Even when we get ridiculed and pounded for it, because people need to know, thus saith the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray if there are any here tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, help them to realize that it's thus saith the Lord, that we are all sinners. It's thus saith the Lord that the wages of sin is death. It's thus saith the Lord that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's thus saith the Lord that says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But it's also thus saith the Lord that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, Father, help us to be faithful with the message. Thus saith the Lord. People's eternity depends on it. Please give us the courage not to back down, not to water down the message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take